particularly of Shia residents in southern Lebanon is being tied to some vague, undefined safety standard in northern Israel.
Ramzi Qais, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Lebanon researcher at Human Rights Watch, speaking to us from Beirut, just back from southern Lebanon. Thank you so much. We will link to Human Rights Watch's reports. And that does it for our show. Democracy Now! Currently accepting applications for development associates. Support our fundraising team. Go to democracynow.org. And Democracy Now!, the film about it as we celebrate 30 years, is opening at the IFC Theater here in New York on Thursday. It's called Steal the Story, Please. I'll be doing the Q&A after the film with the film's directors, Carl Diehl and Tia Lesson, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's also opening at the Jacob Burns Theater and at Huntington, where I'll be doing the Q&As there on Sunday and Tuesday. And then we head to Los Angeles to the Lemley Theaters in Glendale and North Hollywood and more, and to San Francisco at the Roxy and beyond. Check our website at democracynow.org for all details. The film Steal This Story, Please, and let your friends know. That does it for the show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Perpty, Augusta Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Whenever we're in Portland, we always try to put in at least 5 or 6 hours at cable,
right.
Because we're
the Fire Sign Theater.
So listen to 90.7 FM for cable.
Mr. Nana, no, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM. You don't know.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the Clinton Street Theater, a movie theater and community space in Southeast Portland, presenting independent films, live music, theater productions, and more. Information about current screenings is available at cstpdx.com.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, broadcasting 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, via the World Wide Web. It is KBOO.FM. I am Cecil, and today is Monday, the 6th of April. The year is 2026. Our phone numbers for you to call and share are 503-231-8187. And it is approximately 8:01 a.m. if you're listening live. But it's also, well, that's another story. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for being a part of our community. It is so important for us to continue to share and to build community. This is a Monday, and hoping that your weekend went well and that there were things that gave you hope or joy or inspiration this weekend. I'm broadcasting from Portland, and the weather was really nice this weekend, and so I am grateful for that. But there is so much that is happening, not only the weather, but so much in our cultural, political world that's happened, and I hope that we can have some meaningful conversations this morning. I was wondering, and I would hope that you would call and share your perspective on respond to this. I'm not sure whether it's a question, but I'm just wondering. As I mentioned, there's so much political and cultural changes that are happening in our world today. And I was reflecting not only on our last broadcast, but some broadcasts I've heard over the week on this radio station. And the question for I would like to ask you is what methods are important or effective in terms of creating effective or meaningful social change? How should one spend one energy? And this question came about after, for me, after hearing a remark of someone who's a frequent caller here, and I won't name them because, if they would like to call, they can share. But their comment was they had been working on, many years ago, on a political campaign, and they had put so much effort into this political campaign, and it was supporting a person running for president of the United States, and they had, I suspect, so much hope, maybe in the candidate, but certainly in the message, and. But they no longer consider that was a valuable time or effective way to create substantive change. The caller was mentioning a political campaign working 10 years ago in the political campaign of Bernie Sanders. And they spent, effort and time and money knocking, I suspect, knocking on doors, creating spaces where people could canvas and things like that. And they no longer felt that was a valuable way in which to impact or create substantive political change. We are at that point in our political life, in our lives, that many people are saying that we, meaning the American public, in order to respond to this authoritarian regime that has impacted all of us, that we have to get out and seek political change by making sure that the right candidates are elected. Many people are spending much time and effort and money and resources for candidates, not only for political federal offices, not only for those running for U.S. Senate and U.S. representatives, but also up and down the slate. So everything from school board representatives to county commissioners to state legislators. And the Democrats, the National Democratic Party, have exhibited a certain sense of anticipation that this is their year, that people are so frustrated that people will no longer vote for the other political party, and they point to how the Democrats are winning seats in places that Trump run by double digit margins in red counties, and saw that as a harbingers of things to come. That if Democrats can win in these formerly solid red districts in many campaigns, perhaps come November that there will be a blue tidal wave in which the American public will let those in office know that things, they are upset, that things will have to change, and that we the American public, will no longer sit by and allow the president and his minions control things. But the question I have for you and for myself as well, should we put all of our eggs into that basket? Should we depend upon political campaigns, electoral politics in particular, as a way or as the way in which to impact and reverse the direction of our country? Is that an appropriate way in which we can spend our energy in transforming the way we are? Now, many people say it is, and many people think it is an effective way, that although no one political campaign, no one strategy will be the end-all solution for all, but it is one step, one thing that we can do. So a question I have for you as we begin this season, and we will see more and more here in Oregon, there be spring campaigns and political campaigns. Are those, is that where we should spend our energy in supporting those who are running for political office, either running ourselves, supporting those who are running? And why is it important to do so, or why is it not? If it is not, if you think that it either an ineffective way for substantive social and economic change, what are other things that people are doing? Over the weeks, people have called in and have shared their frustration with the political system and frustration with what they see groups are doing. But if those groups are not effective or creating meaningful change, what groups, what movements are doing good works? What would you suggest to your neighbors, your friends, and your family in terms of how you can impact and create political and social change? Now, does it mean that if you either support this campaign, and I'm not speaking solely of electoral campaigns, but of other ways in which people gather and make movement, are those effective ways? Are you organizing in your workplace? Is that something that you are doing? Are you gathering in your neighborhood associations and having conversations and organizing ways in which people can make change? Are you seeing your neighborhood and seeing either our houseless neighbors and people who are unable to make find resources either for housing or for food? Are there things that you are doing that you and the group are doing that create effective change? How do we spend our effort, and how do we make change for our society? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And again, a couple of questions I would like to hear response is, one, should we spend our time in political electoral campaigns? Is that an effective way to make change? Or are there other things we can do? Over the weeks, we have heard, as communities have organized massively, massive movements, we saw movements and communities just a couple of weeks ago in terms of the No Kings protests. Were those ways in which people can make effective change or not? If not, what are the groups that or organizations, or how are you spending time? Now, it may not create radical change, but are there things that you are doing that are meaningful? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. Let me hear from you and hear some of your thoughts. Let's go to our first caller, Edie. Good morning, Edie. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Cecil. I'm doing mixed, but we're not going to waste time talking about me. I think what we most need is doing everything urgently, intensely, persistently, but each individual doing what is best for them. Mm. So I would like it if we were all, you know, kind of listening to our inner voice and wisdom telling us what that is and going about it with courage and love and integrity. We need to protect the election system. We need to make sure that people are not purged from the election rolls, and we need to protect the U.S. Postal Service. But even when those were relatively okay, good, we had bad candidates and mm-hmm. bad party process that we need to protect and improve that. We need to have a reason for people having the courage, having the creativity and the hope, but not being set up as with Obama. We need to, or having it sabotaged like with Bernie. We need to be in the interim protecting our work unions so that people have housing and food and shelter, because they're not going to go out there volunteering to vote if they're not even able to survive.
Yes.
We need to do mutual aid. We need to be growing organic food and saving water and having rooftop solar and small miner and small wind and we need to have insulation. We need to be getting, stop spending so much on crap and bad services. We need to have better mental health and community. We need to be having local organizing on our block, on our neighborhood, taking care of each other. We need to have those conversations and potlucks. We need to learn homesteading skills, how to grow food in every spare space we can, how to save water every spare space we can, and learn how to preserve food, how to make clothing from hemp and bamboo that we can grow here. We need to protect our soil. We need to stop the data centers from poisoning the soil and the air. Yes. And the workers and stealing our water and our energy. We need to hold police accountable. We need to make sure that on every item of gear and clothing, they have clear, white, visible last name and or ID number that can be matched to a website showing their face. They're from all directions, their position, their supervisor, etc. We need to be able to have stronger like local government and accountability at every step of the way. We need to hold corporations accountable. We need to have municipal bank and state bank and municipal power, and we need to get rid of the monopolies that control our electricity. We need to get pretty free of the Columbia Gorge being a major military target so that we are not flooded and without power. We need to learn to pray better. We need to dance and play. We need to provide better care for young children. We need to have better support. We need to stop domestic violence, and We need to deal with our internalized racism and classism and ableism and ageism. You know, we have to do it all, but not one person doing it all at one time.
Yes.
And to do all that, we need to love ourselves and give ourselves grace.
Oh.
We need to stop thinking that we can count on everyone else doing it, or government as being, you know, the big daddy or the abuser that we're afraid of. We need to bring back our power, and we do that when we love ourselves instead of discouraging ourselves and disempowering ourselves.
Excellent, excellent. Edie, I appreciate what you're saying. It may seem overwhelming, you know, looking at, you know, what we face, but among the things that I heard from you is in terms of such as mutual aid, supporting one another, working locally, being aware of the dimensions of all that we are facing, but also, as you said, give ourselves grace, and we also need to learn to play and dance. Thank you so much, Edie, and I appreciate your words of, for me at least, inspiration and encouragement. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. We were talking about what worked, what are people doing? Are we overwhelmed? What is it that we are called to do? Edie shared some of their suggestions. Let's hear next what Janet has to say. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. It was Easter, and it's still Passover, and it sounds like a pretty big order, like a one-stop shopping about shaping a new world on our terms. And I don't disagree with all these amazing things that Edie was talking about, and that there's the path to victory being collective power built by organizing. But Gramsci said the old world's dying and the new world struggles to be born. It's the time of monsters. And I really think it's important to face the fundamental darkness in all of us, so we don't become more polarized and look outside of us and name a gazillion things that are wrong, that we take the opportunity to really work on ourselves and do a little micro work on some of the inner tendencies that we have. There's something in research on communication called groupthink. And if we want to change, you know, the consciousness of all people, to raise up, to recognize some type of alignment with all the people that have been forced into feeling polarized with each other, that don't recognize that the important thing is that we're all human beings and the evil's not all outside of ourselves, and and point the finger here, there, and everywhere, but to work individually on the own kinks and our own tendencies from having been propagandized our whole lives, to not realize the essential inner power that we have when we align ourselves correctly and work on different, for myself, if I really look deep, I notice triggers to start hold a little grudge here or hold a little grudge there, and it might seem kind of small for me, but it's difficult to let go of that. So if it's that hard for me, a pretty nice, not such a bad person, if you think about if I can work on that and then recognize what other people are dealing with around me, that all their difficulties, then maybe there can be more harmony and we can converge more to be able to create a grasp of what people are dealing with, and then to rise up from that with a higher consciousness, a ninth consciousness, a flowy kind of idea about how we can connect better with all people and connect better with the environment, and recognize that in each of us there's the capacity to really, you know, create a better grid for the whole universe as we're just working on ourselves with confidence and appreciation and courage and some altruism. So anyhow, your show is great. Thanks for letting me weigh in a little bit once in a while.
It's helpful to hear what you're saying, Janet. And how would you respond to someone who is saying, well, yes, it's good to work on yourself and be aware of the triggers within, and we need to connect better, but there's so much going on in the world. There's this crazy man in the White House with the nuclear codes. Is there anything we can do about the macro while we're working on the micro?
Yeah, well, I think that it's connected, the micro and the macro. I have a tendency actually to pull back a little too much, but I think Roger Waters was right about, you know, go down to the local bar and then to try to have some accord where you can connect with, I think it must be really, really difficult for people who voted for Trump thinking that he was a populist,
mm-hmm.
and then to say, yes, you were right. A lot of people thought he was a populist, and we were duped, not to say you were duped, but say, yeah, we were duped. To find some connectivity, like I can say, you know, I wish I wasn't holding a grudge, but mm-hmm. when the thing about it takes a change of heart, and we can really talk, and I think a change of heart helps us to really align ourselves with how to really spread some love with people who are just with this, like Simone Beauvoir talked about, the defensive aggressive bias, and people feeling so insecure and so aggressive.
Yes.
And so I think that we have to really have more allies, and how do we create more allies is by being more outgoing with compassion, like the women, the nuns that went to Auschwitz, and when they prayed and meditated, they said they should pray for the persecutors. Mm. I don't really know. I think some of these persecutors are really not even human beings, but what humanity is probably left in a good bit of them would be something that we can really embrace, and then to recognize what's going on out there. There's some monsters, and there's some monstrous things in our own lives, but I think that the possibility, people are waking up, don't you think?
I believe so. Thank you so much, Janet, and for sharing, not only recognizing the fundamental evil among us, but also the possibility that change begins within the heart. And it's so important to make connections as we create more allies. Thank you so much, Janet, and have a good spring. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I'm Cecil. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Among the things we are speaking about this morning are what is it that we can do to make change, and what's effective? How do we maintain our power? Our last caller, Janet, was sharing some of their thoughts in terms of making connections and building, creating more allies. Let's hear what our next caller has to say. Let's go to Lou. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. How was your Easter?
My Easter was wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Sure. So in terms of macro and micro, at Portland State, in organizing with Portland Gray Panthers, we had a long meeting yesterday on Sunday on Easter, but part of that was specificity and strategy. Mm. So Edie outlined a lot of things that people can do for mutual aid. However, I think you pointed out that, and there's some specific things that Trump's threatening that's different than what he's threatened for 10 years mm-hmm. in terms of Iran or nuclear weapons or cussing people out at 2 in the morning against the people in Iran and Tehran. However, my thoughts on things that our alliance has been working on for specificity and strategy is two things.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd do a comment and then ask a question.
Yeah.
The two things are boycotts and elections, especially local elections. So there's a boycott against Walmart to end gun violence. Specifically, one of the demands is for Walmart to use its corporate power, which it does have, to successfully lobby Congress to ban assault weapons and ban high-capacity magazines, which was the law at one point, kind of like Roe v. Wade used to be the law. And M114, which is a gun control measure in Oregon, is still stuck in the courts, even though it passed. So that is a specific boycott. In terms of strategy, I wanted to mention, and then I'll try to ask the question, there's a thing that we do which some people at KBOO know about. It's election and community forums, and there's one coming up Wednesday night, this Wednesday, April 8th, at 6 p.m. at Portland State, Poblano Mexican Grill Cafe, 1921 Southwest 6 on Max. And there are several speakers that are coming. Mitch Green is going to be a bit late, but he's an incumbent running for re-election on city council in Portland. There's a couple candidates in Washington County who are coming, working on campaigns for local elections. There's a woman named Sonia Fisher who we haven't met yet, but we're finding out. She's running for Clackamas County Commission against perhaps the most mega incumbent person, Ben West, for that office. So Sonia's going to come. There's also a person you might have met, but we haven't yet. Althea Lakeitha, let's see, her name's Lakeitha Elliott, and she runs the Gordley Birch House in North Portland. Lakeitha's not a candidate, but she's going to talk about her work in North Portland. So that could be one way, in terms of strategy, that people can find out more about local elections. Where
and when is it? Repeat when
it's,
in time?
This Wednesday, 6 p.m., April 8th at Portland State, 1921 Southwest 6, Poblano Mexican Grill. You're welcome to come, but your schedule is usually busy. The other thought I had was in terms of holding Trump accountable, the macro part and the immediate threat, not just to people in Tehran or other countries, but what are things people can do now? And our discussion has tended to be in the group between, what would you say, big tent versus specific sorts of issues. And it hasn't been resolved, but the big tent idea is to work on macro stuff with local organizing. So, for example, one of the persons that we found eventually that's going to come and talk with us has been a lawyer, the Attorney General for Oregon, Dan Rayfield. He's going to come talk June 1st, so it's a little ways away. But Rayfield apparently has been a really great advocate among the attorney generals in the blue states to fight Trump on lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit on immigration, on voter, basically the list of stuff that Trump wants to do to destroy democracy. To the extent that we find out and are able to let people know of ways to connect or find out about things in Portland and our region, we'll also be hearing from a statewide official, our attorney general. The last attorney general talked to us twice, Ellen Rosenblum. She said they have 1,000 workers in the Oregon attorney general's office. So I guess my question then, sorry if that was too long, my question would just be, do people have a preference between, I guess, small-scale, developing a more radical group of people in state after state to the left of the mainstream Democrats, or is it important to do things like boycotts and find out about local elections in order to get traction versus things that are going on nationally? It might be, hypothetically, that Trump may be forced out. People say that's unlikely, but either with the 25th Amendment or just impeachment, it's possible that that's going to happen and people might not be stuck with Trump for 3 more years. So that's kind of my question. Maybe that's too general as a question.
Well, let me ask you.
Sure.
I appreciate the macro and micro, I think.
Oh, I thought that was funny that you mentioned those two words because that's what I was going to talk about. But
right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's excellent. And in terms of I just forgot. Okay. Well, it'll come again, but I appreciate. Could you tell me again, once more, the forum this Wednesday, April 6th, what time and where?
No, that's fine. It's Wednesday, April 8th, so it's in a couple days. It's at 6 p.m. at Portland State. We've met there for a couple years. It's a mom-and-pop local place. It's called Poblano, P-O-B-L-A-N-O, Poblano Mexican Grill Cafe, 1921. Southwest 6 on Max. It's 2 doors down from Cheerful Tortoise. So people that kind of know Portland State's layout, which is sort of checkerboard, Cheerful Tortoise is a good icon of try to find the place.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our number's here, 503-231-8187. That was Lou sharing some of their thoughts on macro and micro organizing, specificity, and strategies, and offering some suggestions. And the question, should we focus on large things or should we focus on smaller things? Let's hear what our next caller, Molly, has to say. Good morning, Molly.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, I wasn't sure I was coming after. Was it Douche? But yeah, I loved what he was mentioning about people speaking, because what I wanted to say, a quick word for the power of words, for like, what do we do? How do we deal with our situation? Because words continue to be powerful and anybody can use them. I know that when I listened to Amy Goodman's 30th anniversary Democracy Now!, which comes down before you, she had the poet Masab Abu Toha read his poem Under the Rubble. Yes. And I was so moved by it that I want to say a word, not just for political speakers, but for poets that have a profound effect on people's souls, I guess you might say. Mm. Because when he, well, I ended up ordering the book. I was and wow. I got the book Forest of Noise by Masab Abu Toha, who spoke. A couple of lines out of his book. I leave the door to my room open so the words in my books, the titles, the names of authors and publishers could flee when they hear the bombs. I became homeless once, but the rubble of my city covered the streets. They could not find a stretcher to carry your body. They put you on a wooden door they found under the rubble. Your neighbors, a moving wall. The scars on our children's faces will look for you. Our children's amputated legs will run after you. I think it was those lines that made me think, oh my goodness, put me right in the place. Now, there's nothing I can do about the horror there or the horror in Iran or even the horror here in our country, but I just want to say words have power. Words can move people to different ways of thinking. And so I just want to say for all the poets who have changed the world, as well as the political speakers, keep that up.
Before you go, I appreciate what you're saying in terms about the power of words and poets, and I think it's so important in terms of lifting up, you know, those who are doing things with words and music and dance and culture. And I'm not surprised that we have this attack on the art and on books and libraries and censoring of librarians and what we can read. I remember when I was 6 years old, when my father took me to the library and got a library card, and I felt so empowered then. Do you have anything more to say about the importance of words in terms of the attacks on poets and writers?
Well, I just want to thank you for bringing up the negative aspect of how they are trying to silence people everywhere, including in this country, who want to speak against anything or have anything other than you have to march off to war under our orders. Because I saw just today reminded the wonderful poster, which is still the greatest poster of all time. What if they had a bake sale? What if instead of raising money for the... Oh, I forget how it goes. Had a bake sale,
For the military,
sure everyone remembers that poster. Those are powerful words right there. What if they had a bake sale to raise... Oh, I've got to find that now. Anyway, I can't find it right now, so to bring it up, I'm on air on the radio. But just... my thoughts on that are just that we have to keep speaking up. We have to keep using the power of words, including they were saying recently, you know, the senator who was the astronaut, but anyway, I'm bad with names.
Yes.
You don't have to follow the orders. You don't have to do what some crazy person is telling you. Like if people had just refused to follow Hitler's orders, for instance, and if we can stand up to this horrifying authority, which isn't any kind of authority at all, because we can refuse to go to war, and these young people can say money's not good enough, like Bob Dylan said, to kill for innocent people. So we just have to stand up to words, I guess, is what I want to say.
Yes, yes.
As well as speak words of truth.
Right.
Speak truth to power.
Exactly. And we're familiar with those phrase you were trying to refer to here. Maybe wouldn't it be nice if schools were fully funded and the military had to have bake sales to buy bombs?
That's exactly it. And it has children play on a playground on the climbing up on the climbing thing in the playground. Yeah, it was just such a great poster. I remember, remember it to this day. It's just, what up? What if?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like John Lennon said, what if we gave peace a chance? I mean, those words are powerful as ever.
Yes.
Marching for nonviolence, just the word nonviolence as opposed to violence, for instance. Words are powerful. Keep using them to get through these thick skulls of the idiots out there trying to run things.
Hey, thank you so much, Molly, and continue.
Well, I appreciate your show always, Cecil. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Molly, who was reminding us of the power of words and how we should celebrate our artists, our poets, our those who make music and dance, and it's so important, and to continue to uphold the importance of the ability to read and to have resources available to all. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And this morning we're hearing from people talking about what are things that they are doing, are there ways in which we can transform our society. Next up, is She the Spirit. Thank you for waiting. Good morning.
Well, thank you for taking my call. And Yehuru Sasa, which is freedom now. And what I'd like to do is to donate $1,000 for a matching grant fund for helping to set the captives free. And this is something Bob Marley has taught us for decades. We've got so many people in this iron empire. You know, democracy is an iron empire of incarceration. And first of all, I've been a revolutionary anti-incarcerationist since the 80s.
Mm.
And so I've seen the evolution of this prison system, the jail systems. And there are a lot of people still languishing in prison who should not be there. And I'm thinking here now of Mumia. But I've been involved, especially in California and in the South, with so many cases, Mr. Cecil, of people that are have been deprived of justice. So what I want to do with this $1,000 donation is set it up, and anyone who donates any amount up to $1,000, like for instance, their $10 will become $20. If they donate $20, it'll become $40. I would like to have some of the girls at Coffee Creek, because I'm just finding out about Coffee Creek since I haven't been here in Portland too long, and I would like for them to be able to call in to KBOO, and I want the matching grant money to be used to pay for their phone calls, because I think that if they could be given, say, maybe 5 minutes to tell their story, especially if they were victimized by pit bull prosecutors, which during my last 40 years of working in this incarceral system, a lot of pit bull prosecutors don't have any sense of what it means to deprive a person of freedom. And when I used to write for the newspaper, I got, oh my God, so many letters and stories from people who didn't have money to pay for a good lawyer, as some of the more wealthier people did. And some of the prosecutors would just be like pit bulls to them, not knowing how important freedom is to a person. And the first decade in the 80s, I sent books to prisoners, which helped them a lot, but I was mostly trying to make awareness by writing articles in the newspaper about what... Oh, I started writing in the 80s. I wrote for about 3 decades.
Wow.
And also asked the publisher if he would allow people from behind the walls, which is what we entitled the prisoners' column, was called From Behind the Walls, to let them tell their stories. Now, my whole reason for donating this money is because I want the girls to be able to tell their stories, mm-hmm. and hopefully some young law students will hear their case and help relitigate their case for them, and this time listen to them and be able to set them free. Wow. You know, Bob Marley, you know that was one of Bob Marley's things, is set the captives free.
Indeed, indeed. That is such a wonderful offer you're sharing. Let me point you and others to a program here on KABU, which Prison Pipeline. It's a radio program.
Oh, yeah, I listen. And I do listen.
At 6:30 p.m. On Mondays mm-hmm. night. And if you want to connect with them, that might be a way in which to magnify your offer here. So you can go to their email is kboppc@gmail.com, and I'm sure they will be very interested in your offer and in terms of working with the women at Coffee Creek.
I was hoping that the woman would be able to call in, and mm-hmm. that this money, I want this money to help pay for the phone calls, the right. matching grant part.
Yeah.
So they can, because I want them to be able to connect with someone out here in the listening audience, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
That can, that's a law student that can help them.
Right.
The other thing, too, I mean, can I say this, please? I remember when the penal, Pope John Paul II spoke of prisons as penal purgatorium, because in, America, as you know, has the largest prison population in the entire world, right? And I remember that when I wrote some articles in the early 90s when they started putting mothers in prison, I called it the plantation, the prisons are the new plantations, because what they're doing, we found out in California that these private prisons, like CCI, for instance, they have the people behind prison, like, peeling potatoes for McDonald's french fries.
Yes, yeah.
And we got a whole list of all these corporations and companies, like Victoria's Secret. They have men behind bars making, you know, exotic undergarments for
right.
women.
Yes.
But more than that, Mrs. Cecil, is that now you can go online and type in any state and type in prison industries. Every state now, the government helps sponsor people who want to start a business using free prison labor.
Labor, yeah.
And that has spun off into now you can turn on your television set, right? And some of these things that you can order on these home shopping networks, they're made by mostly black women in prison.
Indeed, indeed.
And
as you know, slavery was supposed to have been abolished in the United States, but the amendment which abolished slavery said it's no longer possible except for prison.
Right.
And that continues.
Right.
We have to move on. There's three callers behind you, but thank you so much for calling and for your offer. And I think the best way for you to expand your offer to make sure that the women at Coffee Creek are able to do what you want is to connect with Prison Pipeline, and that's the resource.
Well, they don't accept phone calls, do they?
I don't know. I'm just
listen to that program.
Well, that's why go to their email them at kboppc@gmail.com, and they also have a Facebook page where you can check in. So let me know if you're successful in reaching out to them. If not, I'll try from my end as well. Thank you so much, She the Spirit. You're listening to More Talk Radio at KBOO FM. Our last caller was offering their suggestion about things that they can do, and they were talking about the prison system, prison industrial complex, and things that we can do to talk about liberation. Let's go to our next caller. Tangent has some words to say. Good morning, Tangent.
Hi there. I have to be fast because we're running out the door now, but powerful words. What if they gave a war and nobody came?
Yes, yes.
Well, I think we're seeing it. Almost nobody's come, right? Europe says, hey, go have your war, Mr. Bully. I wrote a poem, and I don't have it in front of me, but one verse went, most powerful nation by far, so that is what we are. Seeing enemies everywhere, we are so full of fear. What good is power if you are afraid?
Yes.
If your fear grows with your power, is that real power? No.
Oh.
Okay, I got to cut it short.
Okay, but thank you, Tangent. Those are powerful words, and maybe we can expand on it next time. Thank you so much for calling and sharing. What if they gave a war and nobody came? Let's go to our next caller, Arthur. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Cecil. It's a wonderful day. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I just want to say, to repeat my comment from a couple of weeks ago, all this AI, the only reason for this massive AI buildup is to put surveillance on the entire U.S. population. So anybody that's not for the regime would be marked. And they're going to put people in concentration camps that are marked. No doubt in my mind. I can see the future crystal clear. So I would suggest this reading material. I'm going to suggest a book that gives a vision, a picture of it. It's by Sinclair Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Sinclair Lewis wrote a book called It Can't Happen Here.
Yes.
And in that book, it describes exactly what is happening here today.
No.
And I can't recommend that book enough. It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis.
Wow.
I'm going to take your comments off the air. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, Arthur, and for your observation in terms of the impact of AI and the surveillance that we continue to increase. Thank you for offering that book by Sinclair Lewis. I think you mentioned it before, and, you know, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to make a commitment to myself to pick it up for a reminder of an observation that someone observed many decades ago and reminding us how what we can and cannot do. Sinclair Lewis' book is a novel that was 90 years old, 91 years old. He wrote it in 1935, and he warned of the rise of American fascism, probably observing what was happening in Europe in the 1930s and making some observation about what may or may not happen in the United States. And so 90 years later, we see the reality here in the United States. I made the observation at one time and might have shared it with others that I'm not surprised that those who were most impacted by the rise of fascism in the world, in Europe, in the 1930s, the people we call the greatest generation, those who fought fascism, that generation is no longer here. And their children and their children's children have forgotten the lesson. We have forgotten the lesson. And so perhaps it's inevitable that the rise of authoritarianism is popping up everywhere, and the lessons we learned that we thought we learned are so easily forgotten. So as people have shared this morning, it is so important to be informed, to see how we might resist, to recognize the fragility of this experience we call democracy and how important it is to counter it. I am encouraged and empowered by some of the things I've heard from She the Spirit, who talked about the importance of working for the destruction of the prison industrial complex, and how we must continue to work for the liberation of those who are imprisoned, and from those who, such as Molly, who reminded us of the importance of words and celebrating the poets. Is it no surprise, it's not a surprise, that with the rise of authoritarianism, those who have the ability to speak are often attacked. So it is not a surprise that artists are among those who are first come under attack. I'm reminded and encouraged by the words I've heard from others this morning, such as Lou and Edie, who reminded us of the macro and the micro, how it's important to work on those things which are large, but also to find a place where we are and working intimately where we can. Janet reminded us that, you know, it might be important to find connection, to build connection, especially with people we don't think that we have any connection with. She reminded us that it is important that we find connection, we can find our allies in places we did not expect. People who at one time were very strong Trump supporters now see that he is not who he claimed to be, and that those who sought a better life for their communities realize that Mr. Trump is just a grifter, that he is someone who is not a servant of the people, but is a servant of the billionaire class. And so we must remember that we are called to create community, that a change of heart is not only possible, but it can, and it is becoming. So what must we do? Edie reminded us that, you know, in spite of what we may feel about the electoral system, we need to protect it. It is one anchor, not the sole anchor, to protect our fragile society. We must be aware of those who are very skilled at seeking to destroy our political system, to sabotage our political system. In the state of Oregon, the first state to have mail-in ballots for the whole electorate 30 years, we know that it is a safe, that it is a healthy, and it is a way to encourage and empower the electorate, that we must protect it and we must advocate for it. We must be aware of those powers which seek to destroy it, seek to destroy one of the oldest institutions in this American society, the U.S. Postal System. We must find ways in which to protect it. In all these things, we need to organize locally. We need to have conversations. We need to have potlucks. We need to find out who our neighbors are and find ways in which we can create community. In the meantime, we need to hold our government accountable, our local, state, and federal government accountable. We may feel that we are not strong, as if we have no power, but those in power are afraid of those who think we have no power. We must hold those big corporations accountable. We must hold those large economic systems accountable. We must resist the monopolies. And in all things, we must learn to embrace who we are as humans. We must learn to play and dance, make music, make joy wherever we are, knowing that we need to give ourselves grace, that we can be the society we want, that a better world is not only possible, but it is here now. It is here with your siblings all around. And as we create joy, as we create hope, in the midst of so much destruction, we can resist the power of evil by affirming the possibility of joy, of life, of a new day. My friends, you have been listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Continue to struggle. Continue to know that you are not alone. I am Cecil, and I thank you for listening. Stay well, and I will speak with you next time.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at KBOO.FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the